You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Hey guys, Sean Ross Sapp. Want to tell you about MyBookie, our new betting partner where we get all of our WWE and AEW odds is MyBookie. But it's not just pro wrestling and MMA, which by the way, yeah, you can bet on pro wrestling. It's Major League Baseball, it's tennis, it's the NBA, it's the NFL, PGA, FIFA, anything you could imagine. They got you covered. Now, they always have great deals, but when you use the code FIGHTFUL at mybookie.ag, you get a $50 bonus on a $100 deposit. Maybe that's not enough for you. Maybe you want a $100 bonus. Deposit $200, and they have you covered. This is where we are getting all of our odds from here on out. MyBookie.ag. Also, it's not just betting. They have live casino. They have table games, slots games, all kinds of stuff to satisfy you over at MyBookie. Just don't forget, use that code FIGHTFUL. Only bet what you can, and please bet responsibly.
What is going on, everybody? Good Saturday night. Hope you had a good 4th of July. It is now July the 5th, and we are colliding for the 100th time. Well, not us personally. We haven't been here for all 100 shows.
We're in the 87-90 ballpark. Yes, I was doing some math.
I'm definitely in the 50s. Like, there's no doubt about it. My batting average is not good as the host of this show. But, you know, I think they keep pulling me in to work these Saturday nights at the radio station. Regardless, we are here tonight. That's the important thing. The 100th episode of Collision. We made sure we were here tonight. Ricky Chino, Crest of the Star, with you guys here tonight. We appreciate everybody who is joining us for what I thought was a damn good episode of professional wrestling. 2 hours well spent this evening. We're going to break it all down, including, honestly, those two absolute bangers. And we'll talk about the women's match as well, which I thought was very, very good. But holy crap, Crest, it don't get much better than that Outrunners tag team match with FTR tonight and then the main event between Kyle Fletcher and Daniel Garcia. I mean,
card tonight. It was a good card. And also, if people's flabbers are gassed that the Outrunners did good, I don't know what to tell you. This is not the first time that the Outrunners have gone out and literally outran your expectations. This is not the first time.
I think that was the whole point of the story. Like, that was literally the whole part of this buildup with FTR. I think the whole the point was to put some respect back on the Outrunners' name after they had their AEW tag team title match, and it was, they ran into a buzzsaw in the Hurt Syndicate, and two more teams may be running into the buzzsaw. That is the Hurt Syndicate coming up at All In Texas, as we found out tonight. That's going to be a triple threat. So we got all of that to talk about. The women's division continues to heat up. Should Tony Khan go ahead and pull the trigger on a women's tag team division? I think there is a good argument to be made for that. Commissioning women's tag team championships, I mean by that, he already has the division. They just have nothing to fight for. So we'll definitely dive into that as well. Make sure to get your super chats in. Get your humper chats in. We will read every single one of them throughout the entirety of the show before we get off of the air. We got Michael Allen Lewis. Appreciate it. Saying Outrunners over Hurt Syndicate. Where am I? So he calling his shot. He wants the Outrunners to run it back It beat the Hurt Syndicate. We'll see. I have a feeling Hurt Syndicate's coming out of Texas with those tag team titles still.
I think so too. I think it's not time to set on the Hurt Syndicate, because once it is, it's time for singles. Stop playing around. You know
sure.
what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. No doubt about it. You could sign me up for Hangman Page versus Bobby Lashley. Like,
I want to see that. Hangman going to die. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that.
Wait, right now. Like, right effing now. We got Blanton who says, TK, give me Roderick Strong versus Shelton Benjamin, best of seven series. Feed a generation of sickos. I'm not going to lie. That would slap.
That would be a sweaty match, figuratively and literally. And I, too, would be sad for that.
We got Matthew Hook saying, AEW on a hot streak right now. 24-man CMLL tag on All In.
Yeah.
We already got about 9 matches on this card, and there's more that's going to be added. Like, the saving grace for this card, Cresta, is the fact that it's starting at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on the East Coast. So, like, that praise. Like, thank you. All right. We ain't going to stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning. Although, you know what? Maybe Tony Khan takes the advantage and says, you know what?
Truly a sicko.
8-hour show. Let's go.
We'll clock in the work, y'all. Clock in.
We will WrestleMania 35 the shit out of this. I don't even care.
That was one of my first WrestleMania. I think it's my second WrestleMania since I came back. And I was like, yo, I'm clocking into work. What is this?
Oh, my God. I'm the biggest Becky Lynch homer on the planet, okay? And I had to work at 4 a.m. the next day. And even me, at 1 a.m. as that match is going on, I'm like, yo, let's wrap this up. Like, let's go. I got stuff to do in the morning. We got Adrian Carpenter saying, put some respect on the Outrunner's name.
It was such a good
we
match.
Will on this program.
And they're like really 80s. Like, that was an 80s match between the FTR and the Outrunners. Also, if you can't get a good match out of FTR, it might just be you. I'm just saying.
That's a you problem.
That is a you problem.
that is definitely a you problem. Let's go to the top of the card. Again, get your super chats in. Get those Humper chats in. We'll read every single one of them before we are off the air tonight. We got story time with Adam Cole, Bay Bay. Not a lot of substance in story time. It was a thank you, you know, to all the fine wrestling fans out there for AEW Collision hitting 100 episodes. But he's talking about, you know, where Collision started, where it's at, where it's going. He's interrupted by Kyle Fletcher, and Kyle Fletcher wanted to talk about some past past run-ins with Adam Cole, and he did an All-In 2023 callback, which, now granted, my memory is absolute trash, Cresta, but I completely forgot that these guys wrestled at All-In 2023. It was the first match of the card. It was MJF and Adam Cole defending the Ring of Honor tag team titles against Aussie Open before they main evented for the AEW World title. So I completely forgot that match even happened. Same. But Kyle Fletcher called it one of the worst nights of his life. He wants to return the favor now at All In 2025. He wants a shot at the TNT championship. Daniel Garcia, though, the former TNT champion, he comes out, calls himself a loser, and then says he wants the TNT title back. And Cole said he'd fight them both at All In. That doesn't work for Fletcher, Bay Bay. Danny suggests a number one contenders match for the main event tonight. And all of a sudden, Adam Cole, who has GM powers, just goes ahead and makes it official and says, bet, let's run that. And you know, everything was fine. We're off and running after this opening segment here, Cresta.
Well, first let me start off and highlight this message from the other Mikey, because honestly, that's literally my note that says nar, nar, nar. So great minds think alike. That being said, this is exactly what you said. Adam Cole glazed the fans. It's whatever, but
Danny glazing him. Jesus.
That's what he did. He glazed the fans in AEW. Listen, I will glaze FIFO because they pay me on time and every week correctly, okay? So I will glaze. You glaze if you got to. Glaze like a donut, baby. That being said, Danny Garcia calling himself a loser is the wildest thing. However, like I said to you offline, nobody loses like Daniel Garcia, bro. He lost to C2, and he won somehow.
When that man said, congratulations, you beat me. Who hasn't whooped my ass? I'm just like, where are we going with this, DC? Like,
sometimes you just gotta, if somebody said, Cresta, I've told you to shut up. Like, good job. Someone told me to shut up a million times. Okay, good job. Like, if you know what, you can't hurt me with the truth. TLDR, you can't hurt me with the truth.
I mean, look, you can succeed at life as doing anything as long as you do it colorfully. So, you know, like you said, Daniel Garcia knows how to lose. And he would end up losing again tonight. And my God, did he do so in absolutely spectacular fashion. We will get to that. We had our opening contest. It was Kevin Knight defeating Shelton Benjamin and Nick Wayne in what I thought was an absolutely spectacular three-way match. I really loved the finish to this. The setup was perfect. The timing was excellent. The booking made sense because you got to give the impression that Jet Speed has some kind of a shot at All In, right? Because those boys have just been getting murdered week in and week out by the Hurt Syndicate. And this before we found out that it was going to be a triple threat. But this finish, you had Shelton Benjamin had the ankle lock on Kevin Knight, who was on the top rope. Nick Wayne comes in. He kicks Shelton Benjamin in the head, then hits him with Wayne's World, falls into the cover, which allows Knight to come up and fly in with the spinning frog splash. And then he pins Benjamin to win the bout. Again, I thought the timing and the execution of this was very, very well done.
And it's crazy because for this entire match, I'm thinking to myself, wow, Shelton Benjamin is literally in a handicap match beating these two young men. He beat the crap out of them. Nick Wayne is always impressive. And tonight he showed that. But it's hard to remember that when he's always getting his ass beat in spectacular fashion again. Like, he's another one. I thought for sure Shelton Benjamin was going to get this. But Kevin Knight stealing the pin, great. I love Jet Speed. Since TNA, damn, they're going to get hurt. They're going to get hurt at the speed of light. They're going to get hurt. Yikes. At a Jet Speed pace, they're going to get hurt. And I hate that for them. So like you said, they got to look like they're going to win. But I don't know. The Hurt Syndicate, they just hurt people.
Yeah. So I put Shelton Benjamin in the same category as Billy Gunn. I didn't realize how truly big that man was until he shows up in an AEW ring. And you stand him next to somebody like Nick Wayne, who, again, he's what, 19, 20, however young that man is. Mm-hmm. And he's still really, really good. But, you know, he's got some development, needs to add a little bit, you know, to his frame. This looked like a total mismatch. But again, the way that they were able to manipulate this, where Nick Wayne was still able to realistically have him down for the count and then have Kevin Knight come in and pick up the win. Again, the booking made sense. And now this is at least intriguing, right? Because you had Nick Wayne who scored the win, whichever Dynamite it was, to allow them to set up this triple threat that did get made official. Cresta, they do now have an out for the Hurt Syndicate. If they do not want to beat the Hurt Syndicate, they can either beat the Patriarchy or they could beat Jet Speed. One of those two teams could pin each other at All In Texas. You could get the titles off of the Hurt Syndicate that way. To me, though, I think it would make more sense if it was the Patriarchy that won it, considering this is the story that Christian reportedly has been pushing for behind the scenes, to have some kind of conclusion or finality, or to at least, you know, fully flesh out the Patriarchy storyline and to have them win the tag team titles. I think that would facilitate that, wouldn't you think?
I don't think they win this time. I think there's a next time that they win, so we can further the tension between Kip, Wayne, and Christian. Because right now, I think they're still kind of unified. Wayne is on the out like, I don't trust you, old man. You are not a nice Canadian. No matter what they say about Canadians, you are not one of those nice ones. So I do see that in that sense. I do think the Hurt Syndicate is not ready for the singles division yet. I think whatever Hangman and John Moxley, not Dean Ambrose. Jesus Christ, Cresta. Whatever John Moxley is doing right now. Yo, my brain. Sometimes I call that man Zack Ryder too. Matt Cardona doesn't even know that he shot that man. And sometimes I call him Zack Ryder. You know
it
what I mean?
Took me so long to stop calling her Sasha. Like, it took me so damn long to stop calling her Sasha. So I get it. It's fine. I still occasionally will call him Daniel Bryan. And I apologize every single time that I do it.
But to be fair, it's Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson.
Right. That's why I struggle.
But yeah, like I hope that this does lead to a patriarchy face turn on Christian so we can get to the Edge Christian patriarchy tag titles. I think that's where we're heading. But I don't think it happens now. Maybe at All Out. I think at All Out, that's when it'll happen. Because then you could solidify, like, Christian, yo, you said trust your vision. We trusted it and it sucks. And now I'm going to do it my way. Christian's going to be a little baby about it. And then you team up with Edge and Christian.
At some point, Nick Wayne is going to look at Christian Cage and go, "You're not my real dad." And that shit's going to hurt.
Real dad may be dead, but he was a better man than you.
He was a better father than you've ever been.
He's going to be flabbergasted.
Oh, there are so many. Christian could write his own obituary promo with what the material that he could give Nick Wayne on that. All right, like, I'm looking forward to this whenever this does end up blowing up.
Same.
Now, we talked about the all-in card, Chris, as they continue to set this up. There's like 8 or 9 matches that are already there. There's another one that we know is coming. The question is, when is it going to get made official? And not to sound like, you know, WCW days, but like, who is the third man, Cresta? We had Claudio and Yuta say that they have a score to settle with the ops, and they issued the challenge for the Trios Championships at All In. Okay. Mox already wrestling on the show. Pac, as far as we know, is still on injured reserve. Who's taking this spot? That's an intriguing question. I'm sure we'll find out maybe on Wednesday or Thursday. Thursday's live this week for Collision. So we'll find out on one of those two nights, maybe, possibly. Maybe they keep it a secret. But if Pac coming back would be the obvious choice there, easy transition. If Pac's not ready to go, which direction do you go? That's an interesting question.
I would say, I think it should be Pac. If we're going to put anyone into that, it'll be a nice pop, a nice return. This way, whether Moxley wins or loses, you could keep the Hurt Syndicate. You could keep the Death Riders together. This way, there's still a story to tell. Because sometimes it's not about, if you have the titles, what do you do after you lose them? I think Gabe Kidd would be someone that you would bring in if they're going to continue the Death Riders. If you're going to continue having Mox as champion, I could totally see that. But I think Pac here would be your best bet.
Now, the chat is with you on Gabe Kidd and, you know, talking with our boy, Substitute Teacher of the Year, SP3, earlier in the night. You know, he reminded me.
He really is Substitute Teacher of the Year.
He is. Gabe Kidd's been wearing the Death Riders logo still on his gear when he's been wrestling elsewhere. So that would be an easy substitute to mix him in as well. But the name that popped into my head, and me and the other Mikey here, we're on the same page here. If he's ready to go, because he has been dealing with a concussion, right?
I thought he hates the Death Riders, though.
But if you remember, last time we saw him was Anarchy in the Arena. What happened? He showed up. He and Samoa Joe had that stare down. He gave him the little shake of the head and walked away. Turned his back on that man. We don't know why. Turned his back on that man and has not been seen since. So if he's got beef with Samoa Joe, would he line up across the ring as an ultimate swerve against Samoa Joe? Could you see Hook joining the Death Riders?
I can't. And I saw someone else in chat say, well, what about Jack Perry? Jack Perry is interfering in the Kenny Omega match. So he's going to be busy. He will be busy.
that's Cresta calling her shot.
It's either he's interfering in the Kenny Omega match. Yeah, that's the Okada match. He's definitely interfering in that match. He's definitely interfering in that match.
Can you imagine them hyping this up as like Again, like the video package that they put together between Omega and Okada was absolutely spectacular. And this is like an all-time great rivalry in wrestling history. But damn, man, like, could you, that having Jack Perry be the deciding factor in the finish of that match, that's like Travis Scott helping John Cena win the WWE Championship, in my opinion.
Man, but think about it. Jack Perry's been a little shit for a while. And Jack, like, on some, and he has a vendetta against Omega. He's kind of on the outs with the elites. Why wouldn't he do something with the Don Callis family? That's right up his alley. To me, there is no, you've booked yourself into a corner. I know you want to unify this. But who wins here? Okada, Omega? There's always someone in the Don Callis family, but conveniently tonight, everyone in the Don Callis family is wrestling. Everybody. Man, that, if that don't scream escape goat, escape rope, Jack Perry in five, I don't care.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens on that one. We had a really fun trios match as well here. I really didn't get a chance to write down many notes on this, except for the fact that Mero is an absolute bop. But Mark Briscoe.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Hologram and Mystico defeated Rocky Romero, Trent Beretta, and Hechicero. Again, really fun trios match in this one. And you had Mystico picking up the win, which helps set things up, you know, with the Casino Gauntlet match that's coming up, because we know that Mystico is going to be in that with Mark Briscoe and MJF, who appeared on screen to talk some trash to Mark Briscoe. Told Mystico he ain't even getting in the damn match because he's going to squash Mark Briscoe and win that sucker and get his AEW world title shot before the third person can even get into that matchup. So what did you think of the triple threat match? What did you think of MJF's promo afterwards?
Much like you, I don't have many notes on this match. This match was fantastic. From the word go, they were hooping. I will say I don't know what Mystico's presentation is in CMLL. But the way they've been presenting him here in AEW, that man is wrestling Selena. That man is so, they love him. They got the good music. I don't even know what that song is. But every time they start playing it, people start crying in a crowd. This is fantastic. Also, MJF and MVP calling people poor. Get stopped. We're all poor. Knock it off, okay? Knock it off.
Oh, good God. How surprised were you when Max Caster comes out for his open challenge that Scorpio Sky was the man who answered the call tonight, Cresta?
I was very surprised, but not more surprised than Max Caster fully being on the corn. He's on the cob now. People love him. And you know what? Bum-ass Baron Corbin, bum-ass Max Caster. I hate to say it, I'm kind of rooting for him. At first, I was like, this is what you get. Get out of here. Now I'm like, all right, yo, he's in the garbage. Having Scorpio Sky back, SCU, like that presentation, in my opinion, this is just my opinion. This is my opinion. Just my opinion. Did I say that this is my opinion? Just my opinion.
Yeah.
The presentation of Scorpio Sky is what the presentation of Anthony Bowen should have been. This five-tool player, and the way they're presenting Scorpio, that's the way they should have presented Bowens. That's just me. I like it. Maybe Scorpio Sky and Bowens get together, and that would be a fantastic. But that's just me.
I love the fact, first off, it's been 2 years since this man's been on television, which is absolutely insane. Pop quiz. Can you tell me who his last match was against 2 years ago?
The fans. No further questions at this time.
Andrade.
Woo!
His last match was against Andrade. A man who's not even in the company anymore and hasn't been in no company.
Oh, he was just on SmackDown. Let me stop.
Thank you, Adrian, for the super chat. Again, guys, get your super chats in, get your humper chats in. We'll make sure to read every single one of them before we're off the air tonight. I'll tell you what that I really, really like, though. Putting him with Top Flight.
Yes.
I think he is the kind of main event level player and central figure that that group desperately needed. I think they were a talented group that needed a leader, honestly.
Yes.
Because when you look at Top Flight, Dante and Darius, they're a great tag team. You've got Layla mixed in there as well. It just seemed like there was a piece that was missing from that group. I think Scorpio Sky is an excellent addition. I think he can bring that missing element to that group and be a hopefully be a major player now that he actually is back. So I'm happy to see him. Of course, he squashed Max Caster in 55 seconds. So I'm very, very hopeful that this is going to lead to something. But hey, it's a step in the right direction. The man's actually on television. Like, this is a guy. I mean, just wasn't that long ago, Tony Khan was like, hey, we had discussions about bringing him back. Creative didn't work. Whatever it was, whatever the disagreements were, they couldn't line things up to get him back on television. Mm-hmm. Clearly, they have come up with something to get him back into the fold. I'm very happy to see him back, and hopefully some big things are ahead.
Agreed. I think that this is a good intro match because Max Caster can wrestle, but Scorpio Sky, this was his night. This was his moment. It's nice to see him back. I think this is great for Top Flight. Again, in my hardest of hearts, Anthony Bowens in that mix, that's definitely a team that I would... I can also understand if Bowens wants to do a singles thing. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I'm not Miss Cleo.
We had Ricochet have the Gates of Agony
beat you up,
kick the shit out of White Christian,
Ricochito,
and Lee Johnson. You know, in all sincerity, I almost left you high and dry tonight just to sell the angle. Like, I almost just... almost like, sorry, I can't make it. Emergency, you know, hospital visit.
My name is Cresta Starr. I get online to spread disinformation, but only the fun kind, like Ricochet via Blake Christian. Very clearly, not unless.
Well, this, you know, not to feed into the conspiracy Vanilla theory Rick. Here, but this angle was filmed on Wednesday.
It was pre-recorded, exactly. So you could show up to work. Nice try. Shaved and everything. Nice try, pal.
Oh, my God. I can't believe this has actually turned into a thing. And one day, I'm either going to interview Blake for SI, or I will find him at a convention, and I will be like, hey, so I don't know. I don't know if you know this or not, but there are actually people who believe we look alike. And after he gets over the insult, we'll take a photo and we can put this nonsense to bed.
Honestly, if people ask me where do I come up with this stuff, I make it up. Honestly, trust me, bro. If we're going to get on the internet and lie, why not have it be a fun one?
Right? Jesus.
Let's do some fun lies. Like, did you guys know that I'm the voice of the Kellogg's Tiger?
Damn, RM. Old man.
Right.
Jesus. I'm only 37 for crying out loud.
Dude, he got that old miss.
Man.
That's Lord crazy, almighty. Rick.
Lord almighty. What do you think about Ricochet and the Gates of Agony? Much like I said with Top Flight, I feel like Gates of Agony were missing something. I think Ricochet could be that perfect vessel to help kind of bring them along. Somebody, not to say like ride his coattails or anything like that, but they are great, excellent heavies for Ricochet if that's what he's looking for. I think that's a great role for Gates of Agony to take.
No, I agree, because Ricochet has a serious element that's missing about him, and Gates of Agony have a, yo, can we talk? Don't beat me up element that's missing about them. You know what I mean? So it works out great. I have always been a fan of Bishop Khan, respectfully, even though God said, if you have lust in your eyes, pluck your eyes out. But I am looking very respectfully. I think he just has the great look. He's a really good wrestler. And I want to say this man's name right. Toa Lioa? Is that who he's with? Or am I bugging? Is that somebody else?
I think you're right. I'm going with you.
Okay, work. So if I get beat up, I get beat up. Work. but I think that these two are really, really good. They're like, but they're bruisers. It's kind of like Brody King can talk, though. I have to think of somebody else who, like, you can talk, but also, please don't beat me up. I don't know what I did to you. You want my lunch money? Like, it works. It works. It totally works. Because Ricochet is another little chicken shit corny guy, okay? And I'm sick of him too. And you're not gonna mess with him with the Gates of Agony. They're literally called the Gates of Agony. With the mean bald guy, come on. That's Lex Luthor right there.
And look, I think it's a good opportunity for them, and I think it's one that they've earned, because they did really, really good work with Big Bill and Brian Keith. I thought their matches and their exchanges, outside of that one awkward backstage fight, that was just weird. I think ultimately all of that was really good work for them. You know, Big Bill and Brian Keith came out on top of that, so it's nice to see them find an avenue. And look, Ricochet has been one of AEW's biggest stars, so the fact that they can gravitate and be around him, that's going to mean more TV time and, you know, more substantial spots for them. So I am all for it. You brought up Anthony Bowens earlier. We saw a backstage segment where Renee comes up to talk to him and is like, so about your latest epic failure Anthony Bowens.
On the floor sweating, yeah, crying after he just got beat up.
And she's just like, let me get down to your level here, you know, down in the slums. Let me talk to you about where things are going. Then we see all 8'7" Billy Gunn walk up. And so you got Billy trying to talk some sense into Anthony Bowens. I do love, like, the real sports aspect of this that they're trying to bring into this. It's, you know, 5-tool player, all that stuff. Anthony going into, you know, strategy and seeing, you know, analyzing what he can do on his own and watching the tape back and all these things that Billy said. And he's like, look, and this is where I will counter, right, your point of earlier in the night where you said, look, this is how I wanted them to present Anthony Bowens. I want him to go out and, you know, just have this superstar, you know, element of it and start racking up wins. Right. So often we see that where it's like, okay, hey, we're going to push this guy. So we're never going to have this guy lose. We're going to build him up and build him up and build him up. But that's not life. Very rarely do you ever, is it ever a straight ascend, right? So I like how Billy is talking about, hey, look, this is your first time out as a single star. Yeah, you're good, but you got to learn how to win on your own. How long did it take the Acclaim to learn how to win as a tag team? It took them a while before they got going. So I like the fact that, he's a 5-tool player. But even 5-tool players have to work their shit out in the minor leagues before they get up to the majors, before they get up to the big time. So I actually like the real aspect of this where Billy's like, listen to me. I'm your coach. I'm the vet. Let's go figure this stuff out. And, you know, we'll get you on that winning track, but it's going to take some time. So I actually don't mind the way that they're setting this up, the way that they're presenting it. I don't mind it. I'm willing to be patient with Anthony Bowens.
I'm willing to be patient with him too, because I do like him. And I think that when the Acclaimed got together, they were two sides of the coin that complemented each other. Now that they're apart, it might be a little hard to shape that, because you guys were really good together. And while Max Caster's over here and doing a self-humiliation kink every other week, you got to do something else, because you're doing it another way, except he's taking it on the chin and you're not. You know what I mean?
Like, and this is where I'm concerned, right? Because I see what they're doing with Max. He's trying to do his thing on his own and getting his ass kicked every week. Anthony Bowens is trying to do his own thing, and now he's running. We're not just doing all this to put the Acclaim back together, are we? Like, is that the end game on this, where it's like, hey, we both tried our singles thing and it didn't work, so let's come back together and try to have some, like, is that really where we're going with this? I see that future ahead, and I'm like, I've been there, I've done that, I've seen that. I want to see these two guys be successful single stars. I don't know what we're doing with Max. I don't know how he gets out of what this rut that he is currently in. He's had to change up his shtick to stay a heel because he's getting over doing this bomb ass Corbin humiliation type angle. I could see them going that way. I really, really could.
So, hot take, right? And this is coming from an Acclaimed hater. hot take. The Acclaimed has the capacity to be AEW's New Day. Scissor Me Timbers, Scissor Me Daddy Ass was stupidly funny, and it was over. They're not bad wrestlers. Are they the best tag team alive? I will say no. But I will say that I genuinely would either groan or like, damn, what is he going to say this week? And whether my feelings about it or the majority feelings about it, I could see the Acclaimed getting back together. And you treat them like, what's a tag team that breaks up and gets back together sometimes? The New Day. Sometimes Kofi be doing his own thing. Big E used to do his own thing. Xavier did his own thing for a while. You could absolutely do that. But I think in order for that to work, they both need to find their footing as single stars first, and it has to be a good reason for them to get back together.
We had this eight woman. Oh, sorry. Excuse me. Sorry. How could I gloss over FTR and the Outrunner? Sorry.
You already skipped Willow Nightingale and Vipress. This is ridiculous.
Did I? Oh, I did. I am so sorry. Man. I got to take better notes. I have to take better notes.
I'm kidding. Sorry. It was a squash match, so.
It was a squash match. I just had Willow Nightingale attached to the Ricochet thing, so I completely glossed over it. But so we did have Willow Nightingale against Vipress. Yes, it was a squash match. But the important thing happened as far as a storyline standpoint is concerned, because I'm never going to be mad at seeing Willow on my TV screen. And this was national TV time for Vipress, so it was very important for both of them. But you had Chris Statlander, who was watching this match from the backstage area. Wheeler Yuta comes up, says thank you for the assist that he was able to provide her recently. And she basically stormed off, ran away, said, get away from me, you.
Get away from her. Get a job.
Get away. Get a haircut. I'm out. I don't need your help. Don't need your assistance.
She said, I don't need you to chime in with haven't you people ever heard of closing the goddamn door? Get away from me. That's all I think of when I see Willie Yuta is, I chimed in.
I just remember Iridian saying that this man was going through a phase with the hair. The phase has turned into a full-blown lifestyle now at this point. Like, at what point? We've gone way past the phase now, right? Like, at some point, that man's going to show up with a bald head. Like, he's just going to go full emo and just completely.
He's got to commit to the bit. He's got to turn into Cousin Thing. It,
right?
He's got to get the hair all the way down to his feet. He's got to be Cousin Thing at this point. Yuta, really, Yuta. Cousin It, thank you. Cousin It, Willer Yuta, don't give up. Don't shave your head. Don't be a coward. Don't let Claudio Castagnoli and John Moxley bully you. Don't be like Pat. Keep more than a strip. Grow your hair to your feet. Do it.
My question is, do you see, because they have flip-flopped Chris Statlander from babyface to heel back to babyface. Do you see a world where she joins in with the Death Riders? Talked about Hook potentially joining the Death Riders. Could you see them swaying and pulling Chris Statlander in? Because if there is going to be an AEW women's tag team division at some point with titles and everything, Marina Shafir and Chris Statlander wouldn't be a bad team to represent the Death Riders, in my opinion. That's a direction that they could go.
Why will they go that way? Here's my thing, right? why would you put Chris Statlander there when you've got a whole Serena Deeb that fits that whole aesthetic way better?
That's a good point.
And good point. With where no shade to Chris Statlander, they treat her like the Big Show. She's a face this week. She's a heel this week. I can only see you getting into the Death Riders to go deep undercover. And if anyone should be a tag partner with Willow, it should be Chris.
Yes, that's a team that they never should have honestly split up. So, I'm hoping that that's the direction that they go toward. What up? What I say? What I do? What's going on?
Nah, it's the super chat.
Oh, what do we got?
Are you clicking it? Am I clicking it at the same time? Don't waste your time on your
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Don't waste your time on me. You're already the voice inside my head.
I'm glad you read that, because that is not what I would. I'm like, what does that even say? What language is that in? I'm glad you got it.
I get it now. My brain too was like, you're not about to do this. And I said, yes. You see, I'm sweating these lights. So I'm reading, yo, wait, you're done. First of all, how did you phonetically write that? miss you. Where are you?
That might be super chat of the year, potentially.
You ate that. I need the napkin. I'm sweating like the dude in Gangsta's Paradise who was sitting in that.
It is hot. Like, my house is hot. Whoa. My house is hot. Oh, Adrian with the just coming in with the mid-court swish shot. Yeah, that works too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean,
that makes a ton of sense.
Statlander should be your mid-card champion. If we don't do, I don't know who would take it off of Mercedes, your TBS champion. But a Statlander, her versus Megan Bain, if you want to keep Megan Bain out of the main event title scene for right now, whatever. But, like, I don't know. I would like to see Statlander. But, again, if I think a Statlander with anyone, I'm thinking it'd be Willow. Or we could do a swerve. You try to get Chris in there. And because Chris is like, I don't know, maybe get away from me. You have Shayna Baszler come here and said, I know what I want.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. No, I. And that's the thing. It's like, I know there's going to be more women who are going to be added to this team, right? Like, as stacked as it is, there's so much talent out there right now. There are rumors and reports that Isla Dawn could be coming in. Be interesting to see where she fits. She's primarily been a tag team wrestler for the last few years, so interesting to see where that goes. But, yeah, Shayna Baszler in AEW with the Death Riders alongside Marina Shafir. Yeah, that's a good shout. That makes a ton of sense. Now that we've talked about that, now we can move on to FTR and the Outrunners.
This 1989-ass match. I was here for it.
This 1989 match, whatever, 6 stars, 7 stars, 8 stars. This was spectacular.
8 stars this, inside of the back of the Blockbuster, bro. It was so good.
This match was spectacular. Great tag team psychology by FTR in this. This was a masterclass in tag team wrestling by Dax and Cash. Keeping a bloodied Truth Magnum in the ring as long as they could, keeping Turbo on the outside. This thing had plenty of hope spots, false finishes. The crowd was white hot throughout all of it. They sold my ass down the river on the shatter machine that the Outrunners hit, and I knew who was winning this damn match before it even started because I read the freaking results, and they still sold me down the river on that spot. Like, Dax coming in at the last second with, like, you know, like the six-month-old trying to learn how to crawl shoulder bump.
Stop.
Just like, ugh! Just like, I got it, I'm in. Like, this was so damn good. And at the end, it took Stokely Hathaway, and I'm glad that they got that camera shot where he had a hole into the ankle and stopped the breakup of the pinfall after FTR was able to hit the shatter machine. Like, immediately after this match was over, Cresta, I'm like, run this shit back in Texas.
Isn't that how we felt about FTR versus the wingmen?
I'm pretty much sure I feel this way about any FTR match, but this was a masterclass also for FTR and allowing their opponents to shine, because to me, the Outrunners were the star of this. And again, I said it at the top of the show, the whole point of this matchup was FTR saying, you're not on our level. Okay, let's see if the Outrunners are on FTR's level. They showed the hell out tonight. And it was the workhorse.
Absolutely agree.
And the workhorseman, Orion Ben said it in the chat there as well.
Orion Ben, you are the greatest of all time, and don't let anyone else tell you differently. I'll also say that this was just classic tag team wrestling. I'm joking and saying this was a 1989 match, but it was. You literally had your classic heels in all black and your faces in bubblegum vomit, arcade floor pink and blue. I lived for it. These are such really good guys. And honestly, I wish Blockbuster was still around to sponsor the Outrunners, because that literally screams 1990s, the high top Jordans. They're fantastic. They are fantastic. I love FTR. I would love to have the Outrunners win something. And the Outrunners, in my opinion, are the last of a dying breed of jokey joke tag teams who also are incredibly really good. It's just incredibly frustrating to see them always used as a joke enhancement, if you will. They do good matches. It's just like, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid.
I had a super chat I was going to pull up here. I'm so sorry. If you're wondering why I have a dumbfounded look on my face, like, I had a super chat here that I was going to pull up, and it's gone. It disappeared.
You know, it's all good. I got you, homie. Oh, you might have unstarted. Did you do that?
You know what? Yeah, I might have. I'm going to have to go way back to find it. But anywho, I digress. Yeah. I want to see these guys run it back again, because I feel... Okay, I found it. I found it. All right. So we're good there. Okay. So I really want to see these guys run it back again at Texas, mostly because this match was really, really good. And I want to amplify the energy that we got tonight with that crowd in Arlington, which is going to be up over 25,000 people, right? I want to see the 25,000 screaming people behind the Outrunners. And the other thing is, it's like, these guys need to be on the show. Like, they need to be on the card somewhere. And if FTR, they were supposed to be going up against Cope and Christian, right? Like, that was supposed to be the plan, reportedly. Sean Rossap, all over that. Eiffel Select, best nearly $6 in the business. So make sure to subscribe to that. Get all of Sean's great reporting straight to you. Don't have to worry about making sure aggregators get it correctly. So it's very worthy having that in there. But, like, FTR was supposed to go up against Cope and Christian. That's the whole reason that they turned heel in the first place. Christian wants to flesh stuff out with the patriarchy. He winds up in the tag team title match. Now you're sitting here going, okay, what do you do with FTR? What do you do with Cope? Is there a way to get them all involved with the Outrunners there? Again, shout out to SP3. He's been calling the fact that he wants to see FTR and get Stokely in the ring against the Outrunners and Cope in a trios match at All In Texas. Maybe, Cresta, maybe, like, the Outrunners, because, again, Stokely's the reason the Outrunners lost this match tonight. You could have the Outrunners issue a challenge to FTR and to have Stokely get his butt in the ring if they can find a partner for a trios match, and then Cope shows back up at All in Texas as a surprise.
Sure. I'd be okay with that. But I got to tell you, when you brought that up, I just remember how sweaty Stokely was. Like, he was the one wrestling in that match. Stokely was so sweaty by the end of that. I mean, Ed shows up for the Outrunners to do the 3-on-3. I don't know. It's not terrible, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, or they run it back. You don't even have to do the trios match. Like, they could run it back. Stokely could try to do his BS, right?
And someone runs down to help.
Cope shows back up. Because, like, Cope was supposed to be back by now. Reportedly, he was supposed to be back by now.
Not someone typing Ishii. Stop it.
But, like, you got to get Cope involved in some fashion. And you know the way that he was taken out. Trying to remember which was a Dynasty. I can't remember which paper. Revolution. I think it was Revolution. I can't remember which one it was.
Wasn't that the fight after he had with Moxley with the spike toothbrush, 2x4?
Yeah, I forget which show it was. He got taken out by FTR. He's going to come back for them. So you have to have FTR on the show in some way, shape, or form to get Cope on this show, which I think definitely needs to happen at this show because Cope was supposed to be on this show. So however you get it done, I think they need to find a way to get it done. And even if it's just running these two back and Stokely's banned from ringside, whatever you want to do, however you got to justify doing it, do it, because I want to see this match again. It was that
Stokely on a pole, WCW status. Come on now.
Well, I want to see a ladder match with Stokely as like on a hook and like, you know, that you have to win by unclasping Stokely.
Bro, why did you just put the visual? You ever see that SpongeBob musical where he's just in the wizard thing and he's hanging at the end like this? That would be Stokely Hathaway just hanging up on the end of his suit like this. Book it, Tony Khan. Yo. And have Stokely Hathaway dress up like SpongeBob was as the wizard, just hanging above it. I'm here for sports gremlin, okay?
We had an 8-woman all-star tag team bout. And I had two spots in this match, Cresta, that just made me scream, damn. Just like I was Kevin Hart. Just damn. The first one was Queen Aminata. She smacked the shit out of Tekla. Like, she was Will Smith in the Oscars. Like, it was just...
Not Will Smith.
Just full.
This is why I say you're Blake Christian, because if you weren't a wrestler, you wouldn't be able to come up with that.
Like... Literally, like, the only way I can describe it was like, damn, that was all of her shit. Like, Stephanie McMahon back in the day just smacked the taste out of her mouth.
Not that. Somebody else said that earlier.
And she immediately tagged out of that match.
I'm out of here.
Immediately tagged out of the match. The other spot that made me scream, damn, was when Thunder Rosa finally got her hands on Athena and chucked her into that guardrail. And Athena took the full flat back bump on the guardrail and then hit the ground. Damn.
Let me add one more to that.
Damn.
When Thunder Rosa hit Megan Bang with that shotgun dropkick, I was like, yo, bro.
Anytime she hits that shotgun dropkick, that shit's lethal.
Bro. When I tell you that Athena and Thunder Rosa should fight forever, I understand why when Athena got in the ring, she saw Thunder Rosa was like, no, because you hate me. I'm out of here. I don't have time for this.
See you, bye.
This match is so good. It, even if this is a throwaway, quote unquote, now you've got storyline with all these people. Ty Conti and Anna Jay. I love these two girls together. And if you're going to reward anyone for your tag team division.
Yes. Yeah, no, it's them. Yeah, for sure.
So this is a good match. It was fine. I kind of think sometimes, in order to protect Thunder Rosa and Athena, it was kind of a cop-out to have them brawl to the back.
I can see that. But at the same time, you're trying to keep them away from each other as much as possible, because they are going to have this match at Ring of Honor on Friday. They're probably going to end up both being in the Gauntlet match at All In the following day. So, you know, I can understand trying to keep them away and have Athena do the chicken shit heel stuff. I thought Athena was an absolute star of this matchup. Like, always. just her character work, her facial expression. The face she made when Queen Amidala smacked Tekla was hilarious. Like, even she was like, oh, damn.
Glad it wasn't me. I wouldn't let that happen to me.
She tags into the match. She gets in. She sees Thunder Rosa. She's like, nope. Pulls the Grandpa Simpson just up.
Grand opening,
around, tags back out. Gets out. Just her constantly trying to avoid Thunder Rosa. Her work in this matchup was great tonight, just from a character work standpoint, because I didn't see a whole lot of her in the ring. We see the other women getting involved on the outside of it. You know, Penelope Ford and Sky Blue both getting involved. And I just start typing down names. Like, you got Bane and Penelope. You've got TJ. You've got Julia and Sky Blue. You've got the Vendetta. If Tony Storm drops the women's championship, you've got Tony and Mina Shirakawa that you could book in there. You've got Chris Statlander and potentially Willow. You could do Marina and Shayna Baszler if that's the direction that you end up wanting to go. That's seven deep. That's seven women's tag teams.
More than that. More than anybody.
Twice as many women's tag teams than the company that actually has tag team titles.
And that includes TNA, because there's only a hot two right now. Maybe three and a half.
You've got more women's tag teams ready to go in this company than the two other major companies combined that actually have separate tag team titles.
So what Blake Christian is saying, Tony Khan, when he sees you next week, it's about time to make some booking decisions.
And hang on. And I'm not saying you have to put all those teams together, but it's like after that, you know, if you don't, you could do Athena and Billy. By the way, there's another team you could throw in there, but you still have Athena and Thunder and Tekla and Serena Deeb and Jamie Hayter and Harley Cameron, maybe Dr. Britt if she comes back.
Harley Alex Cameron and Mercedes Moné after she drops some titles. That would be hilarious. Saying,
like, if you're trying to facilitate a tag team division plus two singles divisions, you don't necessarily have to have all six or seven of those teams together at the same time. You can feature two or three or four at a time. The others can separate themselves out. I think this roster is deep enough that you could carry a women's if you had the desire to book it, right? Because I think WWE's women's roster is deep enough to facilitate four singles championships and a tag team division. They just have to have the willingness to properly book them. And for whatever reason, those tag team titles, they just don't seem to care and more often than not fall to the wayside. I think in AEW, they can have a roster deep enough to facilitate two singles championships and tag team titles and do so effectively. Does Tony Khan, you know, want to do that? Does he have the willingness to invest in the TV time in that? I don't know. It's been getting better over the last few years. Definitely the women's division ain't where it was. It's definitely a lot better now. They just keep getting and adding more talent. I feel like there's more that's going to come in. I would be stunned if Dakota Kai doesn't show up at some point in this company.
Oh, yeah.
That's not a report. That's just me from the gut, by the way. I'm not reporting anything. I'm not an insider. But, like, I would be stunned if Dakota Kai doesn't show up at some point. I would be stunned if Shayna Baszler doesn't show up. Her and Marina Shafir makes a whole lot of sense. Like, already got reports that Isla Dawn might be coming in. They're only going to keep adding on to this. I think the roster is plenty deep with talent that they can facilitate a singles division and a tag division. Like, they already had the tag division. There's just nothing to fight for. Give them something to fight for.
Agreed. And people, in respect to WWE and TNA, they make it work with two teams, your champion and a Franken team. You know what I mean? And like you said, you've got all these titles. You've got your main, your AEW women's title, your TBS title, and then you would have your tag titles, not those medals, please. So if you give the girls a tag title, like you said, maybe you want to keep Chris Statlander for a singles push. You want to keep Willows for a singles push. Fine. You can keep them separated. But you do have, like I saw in chat, the Renegade Twins, who are always on TV. You have someone like Queen Amidala, who right now isn't doing anything. But you could have her sometimes being the TBS title, main event title, then jump in with someone who's up and coming. You also mentioned the Vendetta. I am a Deonna Purrazzo stan, and I think she should win everything. She should win everything. But in case her and Taya Valkyrie do want to go against the tag titles, That's a team right there. Again, yeah. You've got Serena Deeb here. You've got all of these people. And I totally agree in the sense of just do it. Pull the trigger. Man, you could really make your own version of Evolution, Revolution, or Girl Power. I don't know. Whatever you want to call it.
We got Michael Allen Lewis saying a Willow match, 8-woman match, plus Tony. There was the Tony Storm promo that we haven't mentioned yet. It was kind of a quick in and out. Michael's point, not bad for TK tonight. I agree. I think the women had plenty of time to showcase, especially when you had some banger men's matches and storyline progression that you had to do. So I thought this show, they packed a lot into it. But yeah. At the same time, man, like, it did feel rushed. It felt rushed. Those pre-recorded transitions that they had Tony Schiavone do, it was like, Scorpio Sky's back and it's great to have him. Coming up on Wednesday, we got this. Down a commercial. Like, it was like they tried to pack so much into the episode, which I appreciate. But it just felt, you could just tell tonight was a pre-recorded episode, just cutting in and out. And, you know, as an audio expert, it just kind of took me out of it, honestly, because anytime I back me up in the chat, could y'all notice it when Tony was speaking and it was clear that they added that in post? Like, I can,
the microphones were different.
Back in a decade and a half in radio, I can pick that out no problem. Like, it always bothers me, but I'm curious if you guys pick that as well. Yeah, obviously I got other people in there as well.
Say they tried to get every breath out of there. They were crunched for time tonight.
Oh yeah, they were for sure. Michael Allen with another one. My frustration is that, like most promoters, TK likes having a female star or two as an attraction, but is not interested in women's wrestling. I don't
necessarily agree with that, but I can see why you would say that, because you do have a lot of good wrestlers on there. I just think that there are some storylines that they put a little bit too much emphasis in that I could care less about, but I'd rather see a women's storyline. I don't think he doesn't care, because Athena wouldn't be booked as strongly as she is. Mercedes, the presentation of Megan Bain, but there's definitely a favorite child and it's not the women's division.
Yeah, I think it's getting there again. I think there was a point in time where you could make that argument. You could convince me that Tony didn't, you know, just the women's division was, for lack of a better term, sorry, Blake Christian, the redheaded stepchild of AEW, right?
Why are you talking about yourself like that?
There was a point in time, and I would have been a very, very harsh critic. But again, where Tony Storm has come in and just been one of the biggest stars in the company, Mercedes Moné is on an all-time heater, right? Like, you can pinpoint certain aspects of this division and go, okay, they're clearly interested in pushing and developing and building these storylines.
Even Athena.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm glad to see her getting more time on AEW. I want her so badly to go ahead and get to 1,000 days as Ring of Honor Women's Champion, just because that feat is so rarely achieved in any title reign, period, end of story. I think maybe a little over a handful of people can say that they've done that. So I'd love to see her go ahead and do that and then immediately drop it at 1,001 days and just become a permanent AEW roster member and just feature her every single week. Because I look at Mercedes, who I think is going to win. I think she's going to win it all in.
Me too. I think she's about to be so insufferable, and I can't wait.
So it's like, literally, your entire division is going to center around Mercedes. Well, okay, who's going to beat her for the TBS championship? Because she ain't going to relinquish it. That doesn't make any sense. She's a belt collector. She got six already. She ain't relinquishing shit. So it's like, now you've got this unbeatable woman who has not lost since she signed with the company, and she's got both of your singles championships. You got to find somebody. Like, you got to find somebody on this right. You got to build up somebody on this right. I think Athena is already locked, sealed, and delivered to somebody who could realistically beat Mercedes, because she's already took her to the limit, and just one little slip up cost her that match in the Owen Hart Cup.
That's fair, because I could see Tony winning here, and I want to see who Tony would be without the title, because the last time she became a rookie and was crazy. You know what I mean? Right. So I would like to see who Tony looks like without the title. But I do think if Tony does win here, there is a storyline for Megan Bain, who they have been building up, to squash the mech out of her, like literally beat her up and take it off of her. And you could have Megan Bain be your next dominant champion. I don't know how close we are to Athena being 1,000 days. If someone does dethrone Athena, Billy Stark, oh, wow, the wind is crazy. I had something in my throat. So if Billy Starks does dethrone her, I'm like, that could be great. And then Athena's mad and you beat up Megan Bain, who the height difference alone tells the story. You know what I mean? So that's how I would book it. But I think there's a story both ways. But Mercedes, you got John Moxley electric part two electric boogaloo if you have her do it.
Michael Allen with another one. Appreciate it as always, sir. What other women are being promoted beyond Tony and Mercedes, especially around All In time? Just those two. Again, I would disagree. If you look around, that is clearly your main event spot for the women. They're booking it as the biggest women's match either in AEW history or of all time, right? Like, and those are your two singles champions. So they've locked them together in this. So what I like to see another singles program for All In. No question. I would have preferred it if they would have booked Athena and Thunder Rosa for the Ring of Honor Women's Championship at All In. I understand you have a Ring of Honor pay-per-view you have to build around, and that's probably the biggest match you could book on that show. I get it. But I would still rather them be there. I think they will be in the Women's Casino Gauntlet match. We had an 8-woman all-star tag team match that is surrounding these women's storylines and interjecting them and intertwining them. You had 10 women involved in this match, and they're building towards that Women's Casino Gauntlet. Jamie Hayter is going to be back sooner rather than later. She's got beef with Tekla. So there's one storyline that you got going on right there. Again, we talked about all the women that you've got Megan Bain and Penelope Ford, and they're mixing it up right now with TJ. So you're starting, there's your main two women's tag teams mixing in as well there. Losing my train of thought here, but anyway, I digress. It's been a long ass day. You have other women who are being mixed in. There are other little tiny storylines. Chris Statlander, is she going to go bad? Is she not going to go bad? Right there. They are utilized. Marina Shafir is a main player in a men's program right now, but she's still being utilized on television. They're not all main event storylines, but you can pinpoint, look and say, okay, you have 8 to 10 different women who are on these shows almost on a weekly basis now at this point, and they're all doing something and they're all going to be involved at All In, assuming that this Casino Gauntlet gets some time and gets several entrants, which I think it will.
I'm co-signing with you because my brain had something, but as soon as you finished, it said, Rick said it.
Let's get to our main event tonight, which was Daniel Garcia losing, as he always does.
Nobody loses quite like DG, baby.
He lost tonight to Kyle Fletcher.
I don't think he lost. I mean, he got beat up, but he also beat up Kyle Fletcher. He beat up what's his name? I've been calling him Bubblegum Seto Kaiba from Yu-Gi-Oh! Do you remember what Seto Kaiba looked like from Yu-Gi-Oh! With the crop top long jacket that was white?
Nope.
You need to Google it. Wait, did you ever used to watch Yu-Gi-Oh!
No, that's why I have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
Never mind.
I was a Pokemon kid.
I mean, I never watched Yu-Gi-Oh! Like that. I just knew that it was cheating and Bandit Keith had a gun, so.
But, look, Kyle Fletcher was ruthless in this matchup. Absolutely ruthless. And this is what I want to see out of him at All In against Adam Cole. Like, this man, first off, busted Daniel Garcia's nose. Like, Danny Garcia is... Daniel Garcia is bleeding from the nose. Probably has a broken nose. At least they were selling that on commentary, right? So this man's got a broken nose. He gives them a powerbomb onto the ring apron. And Daniel Garcia selling on this. Man looked like he was having a seizure.
Stop!
Like, he was hurt that bad. And I'm not saying that like it was a bad thing. Like, he was selling it. Like, that shit hurt.
No, Danny Garcia looks like he does this 1,000-mile stare that really is like, yo, he's like, yo, call a match. Yo, call a match.
You got, like, poor Adam Cole, like, hopping down there. Like, Adam, what you gonna do? What you gonna, like, get up, Danny. Keep fighting, Danny. Great. You know what, Adam? Don't tell me nothing no more. Because I got up, and you know what happened? I got kicked in the face, and I got a
nose, and I got a brain.
Really?
And I was Don Callis on this one. Why is Adam Cole out here? Why is Adam Cole out here?
If I'm Daniel Garcia, I'm like, I'm never listening to you again. I should have sat my ass on the ground. I was already beaten. I knew I was done. You made me hop back in that ring at a 9 count just to get another foot to the face. And one of the most disgusting brainbusters I've seen anybody deliver that didn't involve a top rope. Like, that was lethal looking from Kyle Fletcher tonight. That was, I like this match a lot.
This new Kyle Fletcher, God damn it, Bobby, it's good.
How many pop culture references can we fit into an hour and 6 minute program? I think we're at least at a dozen.
I am a child of the internet and MTV and VH1. I'm so sorry. But no, it was so good. Like, I am a person, like, Danny Garcia does a good underdog well, but also he does a good winner well. This new Kyle Fletcher, bro, when they say Australia is full of giant bugs, this is what they meant. He's a different, he was good in Aussie Open. He's even worse, worse compliment now. He's so good. I was telling Rick offline, maybe they call
for a second there, I thought you were telling me off. I'm like, what'd I do?
Nah, Blake Christian. I don't want you to beat me up. I was saying that I wonder if this was an audible because Danny's nose got broken. And I want to believe that it's not, but I don't think you could work that swelling. So I'm going to just go ahead and say that maybe Daniel Garcia got his nose broken. They're like, nah, just end the match with Kyle Fletcher wins. This way it could just be you two because Danny's not going to be able to recover in time. I don't know. I'm not a booker. Either way, I would like Danny to get that title back, but I don't think Danny going to see that TBS title for a little bit, which is kind of sad. Maybe he'll see a tag title championship before he sees that TBS one. I mean, TNT one.
I don't know. I'm looking forward to Adam Cole and Kyle Fletcher, though. I feel bad.
Thomas is going to kill him.
I feel bad for Adam Cole because I feel like that boy about to get his ass whooped. Like, unless Daniel Garcia, like, cost Kyle Fletcher the match, right? Like, that's the way you get Daniel on the show.
Well, maybe, because I'm like, why would he do that? Don Callis' family, duh, the human hot dog gonna be out there, but also not too much on my boy Don Callis. Not too much on my boy Don Callis.
If MF broke my nose, I'm coming to whoop his ass. I don't care if it was in a match.
That's true.
Like, how much more motivation you need than that?
You think it causes a DQ, and they run it back at All Out for a triple threat?
Oh, man, I don't know. No, I feel like, I don't know. I feel like I need to check the betting odds on that one.
Check the betting odds on my bookie.
They got all the betting odds. All right? For All In, Great American Bash, Evolution, Saturday Night's Main Event. God damn, we got a lot of wrestling next week.
Slammiversary's coming up. NXT Great Ring American Bash.
My bookie got them all six shows we just mentioned. My bookie's got the odds for all of them. Check them out. You could read them on the down low. And when you find out, you look at the favorites, you can talk to your friends about it. You can sound smart. Not to say that's a strategy that I haven't utilized in the past, but, you know, I digress. Dang, that's a lot of wrestling next week. I'm going to be in Atlanta.
A lot of wrestling for the next 2-3 weeks.
Yeah. I'm going to be in Atlanta, by the way, next week. So I'm going to be checking out for the Takedown on SI. So I'm going to be working the WWE beat for Sports Illustrated. My colleague John Alba is going to be in Arlington for All Out. So we got you covered over on the Takedown on SI. Boots on the ground for all the major shows that are going on for sure. So make sure to check out our channel over there, the Takedown on SI YouTube channel. Sorry, I respect the talent. Not my cup of tea. Her
you
music
ain't there in your booty shorts and your cowboy going 16 carat. I love
no,
you.
No, no, God, no.
Rick is the greatest. I know he's sick of working with me.
Hey, I've almost made it 2 years at this point. Why do you think I got to take every other Saturday off, though?
God damn it.
But yeah, the point is, this show is on Thursday next week. I'll be in Atlanta next week. I think Iridian's unavailable, so it might be Cresta and our favorite substitute teacher riding with you guys on a Thursday night. But you got
this Thursday?
Yeah, this coming Thursday. But you got TNA too, don't you?
I ever since Battle of the Belts 1, 2, and 3, I will never, ever not cover TNA if it's on the same day as a collision. You won't get me. You every time TNA does it, AEW does the same day as TNA, AEW gets me every time. And TNA happens to be a good show. So it'll be SP3 and Kate.
It'll be somebody. We'll have somebody on this channel covering the go home edition of Collision. It just won't actually be anybody who's contractually obligated to be.
I mean, if Joel doesn't have to work next week and I have to do a I'll make it happen. I'm just gonna start confusing people. Like, listen, we'll be doing round robin. Let's go.
But yeah, anywho, so we'll have you covered here, obviously, on the FIFO YouTube channel. We've got the whole team who is going to have you covered for all the shows next week. We got you covered on the Takedown on SI's YouTube channel. Make sure to like and subscribe over there as well, if you would please. Like and subscribe for the FIFO YouTube channel as well. My colleague John Alba is going to be dropping in a conversation with Hangman Adam Page later this week ahead of his title match against John Moxley. Texas Death, baby. So make sure to check that out. Show us some love over there on the Takedown on SI. Krista, what you got going on?
Ladies and gentlemen, I am here every Thursday and Saturday for the most part, covering all your favorite wrestling with you. On Thursdays, I'm here with Joel Pearl going over all things TNA. And every Saturday, I'm here with Rick Chino, the beautiful Iridian. I almost called her Indian, but that's not what her name is. Her name is Iridian, and she is a very beautiful girl. That being said, I hang out on the internet. I yap Cresta Star, where you can type anywhere except for Twitter, where it's Cresta the Star, like Megan the Stallion. And I don't have anything to rhyme. I hope you find $20 on the floor. Your butt looks nice. Thank you for watching.
I don't even. Yeah, we're just going to close it on that.
Bye.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.